Charges laid after a mother was burnt in a domestic violence attack, more wild weather, and the rock legends choosing Perth to kick off their massive tour. It's Monday, 5th of June.
The West Live with Cyan Valance and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Si.
Good morning, Ben. How are you going?
Yeah, good. You're looking a bit drier than you did on the TV last night.
Look, soaking wet, surrounded by children. It was the dream gig.
Yeah, so doing your live crosses from WA Day. You certainly gave us a pretty clear indication that there was some wild weather happening in Perth overnight. Everybody experienced it.
Absolutely. Well, there were two cold fronts that crossed the coast. I mean, the morning was beautiful.
Beautiful
I don't know
day.
If you were out and about, yeah. But I was at the festival in the morning and it was gorgeous, sunshine, one of those like perfect winter days. But then in early afternoon, the first cold front hit and the rain just kept coming. And the rain was torrential at times. So Perth received almost 30 millimetres of rain in 1 hour, which
wow.
That is like, I think that's the length of the rulers you use
in
high school.
Foot of water.
Exactly. And that's like more rain than we got like for all of May. And then parts of the hills have got almost 80 millimetres. Swanbourne got almost 80 millimetres.
Wow.
So think that's nearly a metre of rain. That is just extraordinary in less than 24 hours. So it bucketed down, roads flooded, homes flooded. The SES had some call outs. We haven't heard any major reports of damage. So that's good news.
Well, they need to come and check my house, I reckon, because I was watching TV. TV just turned off. And I was like, hey, what's happened here? I think water has gotten into the wall cavity and trip the switch.
Oh, no.
So I'm scared to go home and actually see the extent of the damage. Not very enthusiastic about that at all. And of course, as you mentioned, the WA Day celebrations had to be called off last night in the middle of Amy Shark's performance. She came out and apologised to everybody in the pouring down rain. A bit of a shame. And what's going to happen tonight?
So tonight, the drone show is scheduled. It was cancelled last night. The fireworks went ahead. They go ahead no matter what. It was cancelled. It's just there are very strict rules as to when a drone show can go ahead. It was too windy. There was too much rain. And so tonight, it's a wait and see. Everyone's very positive. Everyone's very hopeful. So it could go ahead. And there's lots of entertainment, you know, DJs on stage all day, all of the food, all of the rides. Just take a rain jacket and...
Yeah, and it couldn't be any worse than last night.
Exactly.
I think that's the way to look at it. And we know any time there's rain and inclement weather, the roads get very dangerous, and there's been a pretty shocking head-on crash in Yanchep.
Yes, unfortunately. So two cars have collided head-on in Yanchep yesterday. Three people were rushed to hospital, two of them priority one. There is some reason to hope in that it wasn't like the DFS chopper that went out to get them. It was by ambulance, but three people were injured and Major Crash are investigating what happened there.
Yeah, we just hope people are okay. And now this story broke over the weekend, shocking domestic violence attack involving a woman who was set on fire in Mount Helena.
Yes, so her estranged husband has been charged, Peter John Moyler. He appeared in Northridge Magistrate Court yesterday, charged with one count of aggravated grievous bodily harm. It sounds like just an absolute nightmare scenario. So neighbours said they will never forget hearing the screams of his estranged wife, basically. She's received burns to more than 30% of her body. She is critical but stable. Just unimaginable pain. Can't imagine what her kids are going through. And with that in mind, some of her friends have set up an online fundraiser on the My Cause website that will just go towards the children, the grandparents who are looking after the children and helping Kirsten really, you know, in her road to recovery so that money is one less thing, hopefully, that she has to worry about.
Yeah, and just another tragic example of the scourge of domestic violence that we know has such a huge impact on our society. Another impact, not nearly as bad, but certainly being felt in our hip pockets is airfares. And we think, well, you know, we kind of think, oh, geez, surely these airlines are price gouging here. How can they possibly be so expensive when they're making so much money, so many people are flying? And you think, you know, like that would result in some more competitive airfares. Hasn't happened. And the ACCC has now released its quarterly domestic aviation monitoring report. And it's found that the Qantas Group, which includes Jetstar and Virgin Australia, have carried 90% of domestic passengers over the past two decades, as many as 94%, that's their market share, 94% in April this year. And the ACCC has warned that without any real threat of losing passengers to other airlines, aka it's a duopoly, Qantas and Virgin have no incentive to offer attractive airfares, to develop more direct routes, or operate more reliable services. Because cancellation's a big, big issue, especially on the East Coast, and invest in systems to provide high levels of customer service. And so now the ACCC is saying what we need is an aviation-specific ombudsman to help passengers. And other ideas that have been floated include airlines being forced to pay cash compensation to passengers for delays. But I don't see how this is going to be fixed.
No, they're like the Coles and Woolies of the sky.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got the choices. There aren't many IGAs. That's the thing. Like, when you look for flights, they're the main options. And when it comes to, like, time and convenience, you can see how we've reached this point.
Yep, and competitors coming in, like whether it's a Rex or a Bonza or anybody else, it's very hard for them to crack into the market because the big guys, Qantas and Virgin and Jetstar, have all the slots at the airports. And so you just can't get actual access to take off. So I don't know. I don't know how they're going to fix it. And the interesting thing about this ACCC report is, so it was commissioned by ScoMo in 2020, before the pandemic, to kind of keep an eye on what was going on in the airlines. And it was mostly to do with issues around customer service and delays and stuff like that. But now that sort of three-year investigation period is over and Albo hasn't committed to extending it, and the ACCC has kind of said, well, that's not really going to help the situation.
We need to know what's going on.
Us not looking at it.
Yeah.
And they can investigate it on their own, but they'll only really be compelled to do it if there's any kind of indication of, like, criminal activity, which is, we're probably not at that stage, I don't think. But certainly, you know, without the ACCC monitoring it, I can see it's only going to get worse.
Great to hear, because the cost of living isn't a concern already.
Still, I'd rather be on a plane in Australia than a train in India. Do you see the shocking incident over the weekend? A devastating train crash in eastern Odisha state in India, which left at least 275 people dead, more than 1,000 injured. Absolutely horrific. It's the sort of thing that we have never seen anything like in Australia. It does happen from time to time in India, but even by Indian standards, this is one of the deadliest train crashes in that country's history. And now authorities say it might have been an issue with the signalling system that caused it. And so, for those who missed it, so a passenger train was heading along a track. On a different track was a stationary goods train carrying iron ore. And so what was supposed to happen is the passenger train was supposed to just continue along, no problems. It was diverted onto the track where the iron ore train was, and you can imagine an iron ore train, extremely heavy, did not even budge, basically, and the passenger train just shot up in the air, causing those tragic impact. And then the carriages that were flying through the air from that first passenger train struck another passenger train that was heading in the opposite direction, causing absolute mayhem and chaos, traveling 130 kilometres an hour at the time. And so they say that it was the issue with this signalling system that potentially caused it. There's an inquiry happening, but they're not sure whether it was a human error, whether it was just a mechanical failure, or whether it was weather-related or wear and tear. So there's a lot still to be learned here. Prime Minister Modi visited the area and said that anybody involved who was responsible was going to be prosecuted stringently, was the word he used. I guess we'll wait and see.
If just one of those things had gone wrong, it would be a disaster. But the fact that it just was one thing after another, yeah, like 275 people dead, 1,000 people injured, that is unfathomable.
Unimaginable, almost. Right? Yeah. And they still have no idea about who some of the victims are. So they're posting pictures. It's just absolutely horrifying to witness. And meanwhile, in the South China Sea, we know tensions are kind of simmering, right, between the US and the West and China, and they're not getting any better. And now China's defense minister has accused the US and its allies of trying to destabilize the Indo-Pacific. And this is the fascinating bit, right? So in a pretty feisty speech at the Shangri-La Dialogue Security Summit in Singapore, Li Shangfu has accused the US of provoking confrontation and warned that any severe confrontation between the US and China would be an unbearable disaster for the world. No shit, Sherlock. And so, but the interesting thing is it comes just after a Chinese warship has cut in front of an American military vessel while it was undertaking a joint exercise with the Canadian Navy in the Taiwan Strait. And so there's video footage that was captured by a Canadian media outlet who was on board the Canadian ship. And you see this Chinese warship just cut right in front of the American ship. Missed it, according to the Americans, by 150 yards. So what's that? It's about, 100 metres.
And we're talking big ships.
We're talking big ships. So that would have felt like a hair, the width of a hair. And it was travelling at 10 knots or something like that. The Americans said it was deeply irresponsible, breached the maritime rules of the who's got right of way. And it comes after a Chinese jet fighter did something very similar in the skies in front of a US spy plane, which was in international airspace. And that's also extremely dangerous because you're talking about very, very high speeds, and it's just zoomed straight in front of this other plane. And Lee was questioned whether or not he thought it was okay that the Chinese were behaving in this way. And he said, mind your own business. Why do all these incidents happen in areas near China, not in areas near other countries?
Imagine if this was the other way around and an American warship cut off a Chinese warship in the ocean near America.
Yeah.
It's a pretty scary time, actually.
It's also just a really stupid pissing contest.
I know. Do you know what I mean? Like, can you all just stop it?
It seems so unnecessary.
Yes.
Because if Joe blogs on the Chinese warship, who's probably been told, just sail in front of them, just do it, he's going, oh, all right. If he just doesn't quite get it lined up right and there's a collision.
Yeah.
And
imagine being one of the sailors on board. Terrifying.
I know. You just, yeah, indeed. And now, some exciting news. Well, Dave Grohl's not making his way back home. He's making his way to WA, and we're pretty excited to hear that he's named Perth for the start of his Australian tour.
It's pretty emotional as well because it's going to be their first tour without Taylor Hawkins, their drummer, who died last year. So they're going to start their Australian tour here at HBF Stadium, and it's going to be the week after Coldplay. So Perth is just the place to be when it comes to major bands. I think we need to tell this room to Taylor Swift so she can bring her ears to here as well. But yeah, they're set to play on November 29. Tickets go on sale June 15, and I reckon it's going to be like Coldplay was. People had eight laptops open and they're just desperately trying to get tickets.
Who would you rather see, Coldplay or Foo Fighters?
Foo Fighters.
Yeah, same.
Not even
Foo Fighters are good. I've seen both. Foo Fighters are very, very good.
Oh, okay, casually. I've seen both. All right.
I've got some news for you. It just came in while we've been in the studio here. So our boss, the big boss, James Warburton, not the big boss, second big boss, James Warburton has made an announcement about the Sunrise show because we know Koshy is riding off into the sunset and his replacement is going to be Shervo.
Perfect.
Perfect, right?
He's so good. Yeah. Meeting him at Telethon last year, did you get to meet him?
Yeah.
He's great.
Such a nice fellow.
So funny.
Yeah.
Very talented.
And what an incredible career, right? Like to go from being an Olympic sprinter, and it's not always easy that transition from sport to, in front of the camera as a media personality. Mm. He has done it so well. You would actually forget that he ever was an Olympian.
Totally.
And he's always been a broadcaster.
He's so professional. So and he's so quick on his feet. Yeah. He's a delight to work with.
No pun intended.
No, that actually wasn't, but I'm claiming that. I like it. Sport.
And so did you follow the news that Cristiano Ronaldo was snapped up by the Saudis to go play soccer over there?
So he's been there for a while.
He's been there for a while, right? So he's been there for a while. So he was paid £175 million a year until 2025. And look, some of that probably blood money, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But he took it anyway. So the team that he went to play for, when he arrived, Al Nassr they were first on the ladder when he arrived. Now the premiership season has finished, second. So they've actually gotten worse. But this is where it gets fascinating, right? And that you talk about what is more valuable, a great player or a great coach, right? So the Portuguese superstar has come over to the team that was top of the ladder. They finished second. The team that has gone up and won the championship, the first championship this team has won in 2009, Al Ittihad, they signed, instead of signing a great player, they signed the Portuguese national coach, Nuno Espirito Santo, And he proved to be a bit more valuable than Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, there you go. Maybe the world doesn't revolve around him.
Yeah, exactly. He did all right. I think he scored like 14 goals in 16 games. So solid, not spectacular. Scored a couple of incredible goals.
I mean, how old is he now?
38, I think.
I mean, in professional sports person terms, that is
pretty ancient. He's still a pretty good nick, though, to be honest. But he's going to be the first of a number of superstars. Lionel Messi is supposed to head over there. There's some talk that Jose Mourinho, Zinedine Zidane, huge names in the coaching and playing side of the game heading to Saudi as they, you know, look to sports wash their human rights. let's just call a spade a spade.
Well, you could argue that about Ronaldo himself, couldn't you?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Anyway, good luck to them all.
The Wild West.
You much of a royal watcher?
No.
Okay. But I know that you love a celebrity trial, a celebrity court case.
Gwyneth Paltrow's court case inspired me to buy chunky boots because I loved her outfits to court every day.
I know you're all about that drama. And so here's one for you. So Prince Harry is going to have his moment in court. He's going to be in court this week. In court. So in testifying in this case of newspaper hacking against the Mirror Group newspapers. And so he's going to be in London's High Court where he's going to talk about his allegations and face cross-examination. And this is where it gets so, so interesting because it is extremely rare to see a royal in the witness box. To give you an idea of how rare, the last senior royal to give evidence in the witness box in a case like this was in the 19th century when it was Edward VII. As the Prince of Wales, he appeared in two cases. One was a dispute over card cheating at cards, which back in the day you had to go to court for, I guess.
Okay.
And the other was a divorce case in which the prince denied any improper familiarity. Saucy. Mm. And then in 2002, Princess Anne appeared in court, but she didn't go into the witness box. She was just there to plead guilty after her dog bit two children.
Oh, my gosh.
So what is going to make this really interesting to watch is the fact that he's going to get grilled about his life, right? So he said that he's all about bringing down tabloid newspapers because obviously we know the role that the paparazzi played in the death of his mum, Princess Di. But it's not like a cushy interview with Oprah where they say, oh, you know, like, what have you been up to, Harry? This is going to be, okay, you know, did you bonk the stable girl when you were 17? And when you say in your memoir that you took drugs, is it true that you were, you know, doing this? You're an unreliable bloke. And they're going to absolutely tear him to shreds.
Yeah. And can I just preface this by saying if there is one royal who should be having their day in court, it's Prince Andrew. Moving on from that.
I know.
The thing about Harry is the inconsistency, the pleas for privacy, we don't want this, and then the absolute dramatic attention grabbing. It's like if you don't want attention, stop. Just stop. Step back. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And it would be incredibly difficult for somebody, I suppose, who has come from that place of privilege. And I understand that it has its challenges. I'm not saying that. But there are just, you cannot have everything. And this will be very interesting. Whatever happens, he won't be happy.
Well, it goes two ways, right? Either he comes out looking like the victim and looking like a bit of a hero for taking on the big bad tabloid media, or he comes out looking like a complete goose. Which do you think is the most likely?
I think people who think he's a victim will think he's a victim, and people who think he's a goose will think he's a goose. I don't think he's changing anyone's mind at this point.
I agree completely. And that's your news from the West Australian for Monday, June 5. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Cyan, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The West Live with Cyan Valence and Ben O'Shea.